The Pittsburgh Steelers got pretty busy in free agency on Thursday, signing two new free agents in safety Keanu Neal and defensive lineman Braden Fajoco. They also brought in Bud Dupree. You'll get all my thoughts, your host Chris Carter, here on the Locked On Steelers podcast on those and a bunch of answer to your mailbag questions. It's going to be a fun Friday episode. Let's get into it.
You are Locked On Steelers, your daily Pittsburgh Steelers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter, bringing you your daily dose of all things on the Pittsburgh Steelers. As always, you can find the show on your favorite podcasting app and especially on YouTube. Like this video if you enjoyed it on YouTube. Subscribe to this YouTube channel to get all of your daily Monday through Friday episodes on your Pittsburgh Steelers, because we hope that you're your first listen every day, because we bring your team every day right here on the Locked On Steelers podcast. And if you're a Steelers fan, the team got pretty busy. Omar Khan made some moves, brought in two signings, and we know that Bud Dupree visited Pittsburgh. It was well documented when we were going back over things that were going on. Jerry Dulac, the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, was right on all of it. Ray Fittipaldo also was tweeting about this. But let's give the rundown of the things that happened. First, Jerry Dulac broke it, saying the Steelers are close to a deal with Keanu Neal. He was the 17th overall pick in 2016. Safety who's been around the NFL, was drafted by the Falcons in 2016, played there for about 5 years, then was with the Cowboys for a year, then was with the Buccaneers last year. Then they also went and signed Braden Fajoco. By the way, the deal with Neal for 2 years, still waiting on the financial details on that. Then Braden Fajoco, a nose tackle basically for the Chargers over the last 3 years, he signed with the Steelers as well. And then, of course, Bud Dupree coming in on a visit. Now, he was not signed, but again, per Jerry Dulac, he was given a physical and met with the Steelers, but no contract details were discussed just yet. So still got to see there. The Steelers probably just seeing how healthy he is, Bud Dupree, that is, before making a big call there. So now we have those details in place. I think it's important, to talk about just like the comparison of these guys. Now, I think it's good that the Steelers signed some more veterans because they needed to fill some spots on the roster. And these are filled spots. Like Keanu Neal is an experienced safety. He's played a lot in the NFL. He has 61 starts under his belt over seven seasons. So like he's a guy that you could plug in and be like, oh, you realize you have a veteran in a place there who can come up, and he's played a lot of box safety in his time. So you kind of wonder, is he the Terrell Edmunds replacement? I think they will try to put him there. I think they'll also flex him around a little bit and let all three of the safeties with KZ and Fitzpatrick kind of do their rotation. And they might try to do some three safety rotations, but I don't think this is just your home run. Oh yeah, they upgraded from Terrell Edmunds type of signing, the way some people were kind of making it out to be on social media. And maybe they weren't making it out a whole but much better, but I want to point out some of the differences between Keanu Neal and Terrell Edmunds. For one, Keanu Neal is a smaller, slower version than Terrell Edmunds. You look at both of their profiles. Keanu Neal, 6'0", 211. When he came into the NFL, he ran a 4.62 40-yard dash. Terrell Edmunds, 6'1", 217, ran a 4.47. So taller, thicker, and faster is Terrell Edmunds than Keanu Neal in that respect. And this is not to diss Keanu Neal. This is just talking about the differences here. But you know, one thing that Steelers fans often talked about with Terrell Edmunds, that one complaint, if you know me, you know, I'm not necessarily a Terrell Edmunds defender as much as I am an acknowledger of what he actually was as a safety. And there were a lot of Steelers who said he was a terrible safety because he wasn't just getting interceptions everywhere and he was a first round draft pick. And sure, you know, you could say that the first round draft pick for Terrell Edmunds was a reach and all that stuff, but the guy was a solid safety who filled his responsibilities dutifully for the Pittsburgh Steelers. But one of the big complaints that all people often brought up with him was missed tackles. He missed so many tackles. And last year he did miss the largest percent of tackles in his career, in 12%. He had 9 total missed tackles on the year. last year. Of course, that was also because he had less attempts at tackles because he was kind of filling in different roles for the defense. But that was also, again, the highest that he had had in his career. The years before that, he was under 10% for the 2 years prior to that in missed tackles. Compare that to Keanu Neal. Keanu Neal, the last two seasons of his NFL career, he's missed over 16% of his tackles. That's not good, to put it lightly. Now, I will say this. Keanu Neal, I think he's versatile too. Like last year, he was in the box more than anything else, but he did help drop as a drop back safety. He helped in the slot. He helped, you know, in different spots there. And he can be physical. He can be aggressive. He also has injury concerns. But I think he still is a veteran safety that he brings to the mix that can communicate, that can think on the level that the Steelers need him to, instead of necessarily just drafting a safety and saying, we hope that he integrates into the system and understands what's being asked of him. Now you can bring him in, expect him to be a veteran in the NFL. And when Micah Fitzpatrick and DeMonte KZ and Patrick Peterson, all of them are, when all they're doing their switches and their coverages and trying to set up different disguises, Keanu Neal, you can expect to keep pace with those types of things and be in the right positions. And I think that's the best thing that you can expect of him right now. And again, he can still make plays. Like, you know, he's not devoid of that opportunity, but last year when targeted, and again, he was hurt a little bit last year, but when targeted, he allowed a pass rating of 131.9. He had five penalties against him in coverage. That's not great. Now, thing is, Terrell Edmonds also 132.4 passer rating against him, granted zero penalties on him. He gave up four touchdown passes, whereas Keanu Neal gave up three, did have an interception, three pass breakups. But I don't think this is a death sentence or anything. I don't think this is like a terrible signing. I think that it's a solid signing to make that position of safety not a demand of a pick in when the Steelers head to NFL draft day, so that Omar Khan, Andy Weidel, Mike Tomlin, that front office, when they're looking at their draft board, they're not scratching their head and saying, man, do we gotta take a safety right here because we just don't have anybody else and we need a third safety to rotate for KZ and Fitzpatrick and be like your first safety off the bench there before you get to Trey Norwood and company. So again, I don't think Keanu Neal is necessarily a bad signing. I think there's some people that are like, okay, this is great, but I think that there's going to be it's going to be interesting to see how he replaces Terrell Edmonds as far as, you know, part of a safety trio that the Steelers had this upcoming year versus, you know, last year where they had the three safeties that they had. But they also made some other signings. They also signed Braden Fajoco. If you don't know who Braden Fajoco is, one, I suggest you look this guy up on Twitter, the Fajoco Show. He is hilarious. I was reading a lot of his tweets and just like things like his mom was posting pictures of him wearing a Troy Polamalu jersey after the Steelers signed him when he was a kid. And he was like, mom, come on, like, stop it. And then he has a lot of sports takes. I really like this guy. He seems like a really cool personality. And just looking at his tape briefly, I only had like a couple hours to do that before I was recording this. But just looking at his tape, he's a pure run stuffer defensive tackle. He's more of a nose tackle. I think what he will bring to the table for the Steelers as a presence off the bench who can eat double teams, hold his ground, and keep guys clean behind him. That's going to be his biggest role. He's not going to be a starter. He's not going to come in and change up everything, but he'll be a physical presence up front who I think will be big, strong, and kind of hold things up and slow things down and be really good against the run. Pressuring, though, pass rush, that's not going to be his game. He still doesn't have a sack to his name in his time in the NFL, and he's been there for 3 years. So, again, not a bad signing, but a depth signing to fill a spot. But, of course, also they brought in Bud Dupree. It's something we've been talking about on this show since January. You'll get more of my thoughts on what's going on with Bud Dupree and an update there before we get into some mailbag questions that you guys called in just a minute here on the Locked On Steelers podcast. But first, before we do any of that, want to talk to you guys about our great sponsors at Built Bar. And you know the Final Four is upon us. It's Final Four weekend, and there's still the Built March Madness bracket that's out here. You can vote for your favorite Built Bar, Built Puff, and because now's your time to make it count, just go to BuiltMarchMadness.com to vote for your favorites. And if you vote for your favorite, like I've been voting for Double Chocolate throughout the tournament, you can vote for them. And when you do, you're going to be entered into a drawing where 50 lucky Locked On listeners will get a free box of Built delivered right to their door. Not only that, but one Locked On fan will get a 12-month subscription to Built to have Built's best bars or puffs delivered monthly straight to your door. You got to try Built. Built is the best protein bar ever. Seriously, they're so amazing. You won't even think they're good for you, but they are. They only pack 130 calories while packing 17 grams of protein. It's amazing. They taste awesome. They're covered in 100% real chocolate and come in so many different flavors, which is why they're asking you to join in on their March Madness bracket for all the Built flavors that are out there. So go to BuiltMarchMadness.com. Right now to vote for your favorite Built bar, Built puff, and you can pick up a box while you're there. You can vote every day in March, so hop in and support your pick at BuiltMarchMadness.com for Built bar, the best protein bar out there in the world. Back here on the Locked On Steelers podcast, I'm your host, Chris Carter. Before we get to mailbag questions, I do want to address the Bud Dupree situation here. And I know there's some people out there that are probably thinking, why are they bringing him back? He's been injured in Tennessee. If you've heard me talk about this before on the show, you know I've been for this. I predicted this. I thought this was going to happen. He was getting paid way too much money in Tennessee for the injuries and the output that they were getting there. I was like, he's going to get cut and the Steelers are going to give him a call and this is going to be a thing. And here we are Thursday. He was putting on Instagram, you know, him being driven through the city, you know, heading to the Steelers facility. Jerry Dulac of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette reports that he did meet with the Steelers. No contract details were discussed. But if there was one to be reached after his physical, that he would be a backup to Alex Highsmith and TJ Watt. And that would fit in well. And here's my thing is that if Bud Dupree's a backup, that's the perfect situation there. You have three experienced edge rushers. Bud Dupree's back in the fold. You're basically back to where you were in 2020, except Alex Highsmith's a much more developed player. And Bud Dupree, if he can stay healthy coming off the bench and, you know, without him playing as many snaps, maybe he does stay healthy. That could give you the rotation that you're looking for. And then all you need is one of your younger edge rushers. Like they brought back Jamar Jones. I believe they brought back Quincy Roche, and they might still draft another edge rusher in the later rounds. But you would only need to hit on one of those guys, then you would have four really good edge rushers who you could trust to come in, fill in, and play a solid role in your defense. So we still got to see contract numbers. They haven't discussed contract numbers, but if it's, you know, anything under like, you know, $8 million a year, I think that the Steelers are doing the right thing. They're bringing in a guy in Bud Dupree who, you know, has a good relationship, a great relationship with TJ Watt. When he was here, he had a great relationship with Alex Highsmith. The whole crew would be kind of getting the band back together. I think it'd be a smooth move on the Pittsburgh Steelers to make that happen if they can make it happen. But again, it's obvious they want it to happen. It just depends on if Bud Dupree is still healthy. He's been dealing with lots of injuries over his past years. And heck, he was injured in his last year with the Steelers. So they didn't want to make sure that they're signing a guy who is healthy and ready to go because availability is the best ability. But I think it's also a sign from Omar Khan here, getting Keanu Neal, getting Braden Fajoco, two veterans that are out there who can kind of plug in, fill a specific role, just do your job type elements. And then if you get Bud Dupree, you have another guy you're bringing in, and then you're in a position where you're like, okay, you have these veteran spots filled and you don't necessarily need to draft a safety right away. You don't necessarily need to draft an edge rusher in the second or third round. You don't necessarily need to draft. You still need to draft defensive line. Actually, I think that that's still a big, big priority, but you can focus on building and picking guys out of their value and not necessarily your need as a roster. And that's the best position that you want to be in. It's a position of strength in the NFL draft. And I think that's what the Steelers have been working towards this entire time. So really good things here. We'll have a lot more to talk about here. I wasn't able to get insight from other Locked On hosts on these players just yet. I'm hoping to have that for Monday, where we can get more thoughts on Keanu Neal, how he played for the Buccaneers last year, and then on Braden Fajoco and what he did for the Chargers. But if you go look up on Braden Fajoco's Twitter page, he retweeted a part of a really good, interesting tidbit from Brian Baldinger on Fajoco and just his ability to stuff the run. I think if you see that and some of the plays that he made for the Chargers, you'll get the idea of what he brought to the table. So all that being said, it seems like the Steelers are just loading up, making sure the roster's balanced, you know, with the vets. And then that way they're able to come in and make their best moves in the NFL draft. But Let's get to these phone call questions. Remember, you can always call into the show at 412-223-6644. You call that number, you get, all you do is leave your name, where you're from, and leave, keep your voicemail to under a minute, and you can ask a question that gets you featured right on the show. We're going to get four questions on the show today because a lot of you guys have been calling in trying to get questions answered as best I can. Here is Corey from Erie asking about two linebacker prospects the Steelers could be looking at. Here's Corey.
Hey, Chris, love the show. My name's Corey. I'm from Erie. Second-time caller. I just had a question. I really like Drew Sanders, and I like Jack Campbell, and I just wanted to hear your thoughts on what you thought of taking possibly one of those players at maybe the 32nd pick. Thank you.
So his question is maybe 32 or 49 there. Thank you, Corey, for your question. Here's my thoughts on both of those linebackers. They're both talented. I think they're both guys that could go, that'll easily go in the second round and could be assets to the Steelers. But I'm much higher on Jack Campbell, and here's why. When I look at Drew Sanders, I see a guy who looks really good at blitzing. He is ready to blitz off the edge, to bring the heat, to use his long arms. I mean, both these guys are 6'5". Both of them are athletic. But when I see Drew Sanders, when I see Jack Campbell, I see a guy who, when I look at his tape, he adjusts better in coverage. And the better in coverage isn't necessarily like mirroring anybody. He understands the depth of his dropbacks. He understands how that conflates with, you know, the opponent's play call. There was a really good play call, I believe it was against Wisconsin, I want to say, in the Big Ten, where it was a goal line play. He got sucked up by play action, but he quickly got back to his spot and in the end zone and was able to run under the tight end who was trailing the back of the end zone and intercepted the pass. And there were several times where he was ready to take that step forward, but he was able, but when he realized there was a pass, he was dropping back and using good footwork to cover space, cover ground, and then use his large frame to take up passing lanes. Really, really liked what I saw of that there. And again, it's not that I didn't like what Drew Sanders brought to the table. I just think Jack Campbell is more of a fit for what the Steelers need for the future. And that's a Mike linebacker, even though they don't have a Mike traditionally, they have, you know, two off ball inside linebackers, but having a guy in the middle of your defense who can run things, and he, you know, Jack Campbell can blitz. He can also stuff the run. He can sift through traffic, but he can also help in coverage. And I just think that is the asset the Steelers are looking for as far as a defensive linebacker in the second or maybe third round of this NFL draft, depending on how everything plays out, because you never know how things will play out. But point being, I like Jack Campbell over Drew Sanders as a fit for what the Steelers right now. Again, not a slight to Drew Sanders, just a thing of how I see things playing out there. But we got more questions here. Our man Nathan Glass, who always calls in from Los Angeles, California, had a question about another linebacker type position. This is really more of an edge rusher position, and a question as far as who, if the Steelers could make a big move at edge rusher and shake things up with Alex Highsmith in the future. Here's Nate.
How you doing, Chris? Nathan Glass from California. Just wanted to ask you about Alex Highsmith. If the situation comes about where we have to unfortunately part ways with him because we can't afford him, if the bag is too high, would you bring in like a Nolan Smith on the 17th pick this year and let him learn the ropes a little bit from Alex if we can't re-sign him next year? Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you, Nate, for your question. But my answer is no. As much as I like Nolan Smith, I talked to him at the combine, very bright young player who's going to have a very good future in the NFL, and he can be a talented guy. But frankly, the Steelers have other needs in other places that I would place with that 17th overall pick, and I just don't see him falling to 32nd overall. If he was somehow at 32 or 49 or something like that, absolutely jump all over him. That's just an opportunity you can't pass up. The guy is extremely athletic, extremely explosive, uses his athleticism well in his ability to rush off the edge. But that size, I think that there's a few things there. Like, he's not the perfect picture that you want going into everything. Just me, I'm not drafting him at 17. I'm using 17 to either draft a top flight corner, top flight offensive tackle, a playmaker of some sort. And then if those guys aren't there, I'm trading back and trying to get more day two picks where I can get things there. But the Steelers at edge rusher, especially with what we know about Bud Dupree coming in for a visit. I also expect the Steelers to sign Alex Highsmith. I think this is part of the benefit of having a rookie quarterback, is that you can sign multiple multiple guys to a certain position that you deem key. And the Steelers have made it clear, rushing the passer and trying getting after the quarterback, that's a big part of what they are. That's a big part of their identity. And I think that they're going to be more than willing to pay Alex Highsmith, especially over the next few years, because you imagine his contract is going to be, a 3-4 year deal for the money that he's going to be getting. And that would coincide with, the end of Kenny Pickett's rookie quarterback contract. And if Kenny Pickett's the real deal, you're going to need to pay him. But then those decisions that you can make about all of your players when you get there. So Alex Highsmith, I think this is the time. Sign him to a long-term deal, keep him around, see how Bud Dupree does, see if that's a fit this year, and then readdress it in the future. But as far as Nolan Smith, I'm not necessarily doing that right away unless he falls into the second round. Then I'm like, I address these other need over here. I feel like I can go get that guy there, and then just see how things work out. We got two more questions that we got to get to here on the NFL draft from our callers. We'll get to them in just a minute here on the Locked On Steelers podcast, so don't go anywhere. But first, before we do any of that, love to talk to you guys about our great sponsors at FanDuel. FanDuel, of course, is America's number one sports book, and they're here to help you bet on everything sports, especially on the Final Four that is here this weekend. And right now, new FanDuel customers are getting the no sweat first bet up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't hit on your first bet. To get to that, just go to FanDuel.com/lockedon. That's FanDuel.com/lockedon. You'll sign up today and claim your no sweat first bet. Then you can wager on everything from the money line to point spreads to which team will be cutting down the net, all on an app that's safe, secure, and super easy to use. So don't miss your shot at a no sweat first bet to up to $1,000 back in bonus bets when you join FanDuel today. Just go to FanDuel.com/lockedon to sign up. Make every moment more with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Back here on the Locked On Steelers podcast, I'm your host, Chris Carter. Let's talk some more here about some of these questions that have been rolling in from you guys. Again, you can call into the show at any point in time, 412-223-6644. Leave your name, where you're from, and keep your message under a minute to get your question potentially featured on the show. Here's a question from our friend Cameron in Akron, Ohio, who had a question about four specific first-round prospects and where I would rank them. Here's Cameron's question.
Hey, this is Cameron from Akron, Ohio. My question was, for the first round pick, we have 17. Could, between these four players, who do you want? And this is just you. This would be us. This could be who you think is graded the highest. Who do you think would fit the best between these four players? So we got Roderick Jones, Joey Porter Jr., Brian Branch, and a cornerback from Maryland. I forget his name. Whatever. But there's those four. You know the quarterback from Maryland. I can't remember his name. I'm driving. But thanks. Have a good one. Go Steelers.
Thank you, Cameron, for your question. Appreciate everyone who calls into the show. The answer to who he was talking about was Deontay Banks. There's two Maryland cornerbacks up, and that's what kind of makes this a little confusing, because Ja'Corian Bennett is also a cornerback up in this NFL draft, and he also tested very well. Both of them tested very well. Deontay Banks, really the freakish of the two when you look at the testing numbers. But to answer your question, Cameron, I actually have them in the order that you literally said them. Broderick Jones, to me, would be a pillar offensive tackle that would carry the Steelers over for the next decade, be a key blocker who could put things together and be a person that you build around, especially when you're talking about building the picket fence to protect Kenny Pickett. I think Broderick Jones would be an ultimate piece and a pillar piece of said picket fence for the next several years. Joey Porter Jr., a press man cornerback who can be physical. I think he's talented. I think he's got a good head on his shoulders. I think that fits a lot of what you want. I just think that the Steelers would prefer a dominant offensive tackle in that spot, because one thing I'm a little uncertain of is, I know he's physical. I know that he can play man, but bump and run. I think he can play man, but I want to see more ball production from Joey Porter Jr. And I'm just not sure that that ranks better than the dominant presence that I saw at Broderick Jones at offensive tackle. Then, of course, third, Brian Branch. Though he's not the athletic freak that Deontay Banks is, I think his versatility as far as, you know, helping at safety and helping in the slot and helping in different positions and communicating, I think that Brian Branch could be a heck of a player who fits in with the Steelers there. And again, just because I named Deontay Banks fourth doesn't mean I don't think he'd be a bad pick. I think he'd be a very good one. I think Deontay Banks is a really athletic guy. The one thing I'd want to see is more polish in his game, better mirroring and better reactions on the field to how players play. But I think that, again, he's still a talented prospect that if you got him in the first round, I think you'd be sitting there saying, okay, that's justified. He's that kind of talent there. So that being said, but though Broderick Jones, Joey Porter Jr., Brian Branch, Deontay Banks, all of them, I think the Steelers could be happy with in the first round, and you know, take that and move on and then address your picks. Like if you draft Broderick Jones, then you are looking at corner in the second round. If you draft Joey Porter Jr., Deontay Banks, then you're definitely looking offensive line in the second round. You know, and if you're Brian Branch, you're probably still looking at both in the second round. So lots of different things there, but still a good question. Thank you, Cameron, for your question. Our last question comes from Matt all the way out in Kings Park, New York, and it's about a different position. It's the defensive line. Here's Matt.
Hey, Chris. This is Matt from Kings Park, New York, longtime Steelers fan. Huge fan of your work on Locked On as well as the Post Gazette. I like those videos with those guys as well, too. Now that we're at least part of the way through free agency, I loved getting Larry Ogunjobi back. I know we still got the ageless Cam Hayward, but it's feeling pretty thin to me on the DL, on the D-line. I'm looking at that. And I'm thinking about the draft and the other things we're talking about where they're going to, you know, we think they're going to pick cornerback. They're going to pick something else other than D-line, offensive line, et cetera. I'm a little worried about our D-line and concerned about our depth and also concerned about layout. I know he had some, you know, some good short stints and it looked decent, but I'm just curious about it. I'm hoping you can address this in one of the Locked On Future podcasts.
Well, thank you very much, Matt. I will address it right here on this podcast. So we also know now that Braden Fajoco, who was not signed when Matt made this call, so he had no idea who that person was, probably how that person was going to fit into the roster. But with Braden Fajoco and the style of that game that he plays, one person that a lot of people were looking at was Siaki Ika, the nose tackle, the big nose tackle out of Baylor. Honestly, I think he's the one that falls off your board, though, because he's kind of like Fajoco in just their build and the styles that they bring as far as big behemoth guys who eat up blockers and create space for your defenders behind them to make plays there. But there still are plenty of guys, and I pictured some of them in the card that I displayed when Matt was making his phone call. One was Madzai Smith, defensive lineman for Michigan, 21 years old. You know, was a strong player who's physical at the point of attack. I think he could be an interesting fit there. One of my favorites, though, is Keanu Benton. He's a 6'4", 309-pound defensive lineman from Wisconsin. I got to talk to him at the combine. I like the cut of his jib. I like the way he thinks. I think he's physical. He looked really good in the Senior Bowl. Keanu Benton out of Wisconsin. If you got him at 49 overall, I think that'd be a great fit for what the Steelers do. I think that, you know, one thing that people need to realize, you don't necessarily need to get a defensive lineman in the first round. Stephon Tuitt was a very good defensive lineman. They got him in the second round in 2014. So, like, if you got one in the second round this year that you felt was really talented, I think that you're making out there. And then, of course, the last option there that we talked about was, or that I pictured, excuse me, was Gervon Dexter Sr., Florida defensive lineman. Why I really like him is his size, 6'6", 310 pounds. He's athletic. He's able to keep people out of his frame. I think that he'd be a really interesting fit if you could get him, especially in the third round at 80th overall. He'd be fitting right in there, and he would fit right in with DeMarvin Leal as far as guys that have long arms and can keep blockers out of their frame and can try to win at the line of scrimmage. So I do think that is a particular concern the Steelers could address there if they're able to get it. Gervon Dexter Sr., again, of part of Florida. So different options there. There's also guys like Keandre Coburn of Texas. You know, another guy I think is more of a nose than anything else there. There's Carl Brooks, who though he's listed as an edge in a lot of places, he was playing in the interior in the Senior Bowl. I think that he could really help out there too. But, you know, again, I think it's important the Steelers address it. And one thing I think you're right about, Matt, they need to find the depth there. Cam Hayward's not going to do this forever. They signed Larry and Ogunjobi back. You know, he'll be back. You hope that he's healthy. You have those options there. And then DeMarvin Leal, I think he came out, you know, got hurt. He was looking good, got hurt, then was looking good again. I think that he'll continue to improve, but you can't just bet on just him improving. You got to go get your guy. Honestly, you know, Jalen Carter, despite all the drama and stuff, I think he's still going to be a top 10 pick and out of your range. I think Kalijah Kancey, a guy that I've told doesn't necessarily fit the Steelers scheme. They want bigger defensive linemen. I think it's clear he's not going to get picked by the Steelers unless they're rope-a-doping us. But I've asked Kalijah Kancey, and we've all asked Kalijah Kancey, have the Steelers spoken with him? And he's kind of adamant, no, they haven't. You know, they haven't spoken with me. Now, granted, you know, the Steelers also didn't make a big deal out of speaking to Kenny Pickett last year before they picked him because they knew he was at their facility and they can kind of build that relationship and watch him up close. There's the chance that they've been doing that with Kalijah Kancey. I just think it's not as much the case there. So you also have Brian Mersey out of Clemson, but bottom line, there is depth in this defensive line class. I think these Steelers could afford to go get it. And if they were able to, I think it would help the D-line as far as run stuffing and getting after the quarterback and keeping fresh legs so that when you get to the fourth quarter, Cam Hayward, Larry Ogunjobi, TJ Watt, Alex Highsmith, all their legs are fresh and they're coming for you at full speed. And if you're an offensive line, you're feeling overwhelmed, you're going to be in a lot of trouble. So that, all that being said, yes, Matt, I do think it's a big, big thing to get there. We'll see if they do get that there. The NFL draft is less than a month away, starts April 27th. We'll have all the coverage here for you right on the Locked On Steelers podcast. We do apologize for those who might be looking for Jenna Harner on this Friday episode. She was unable to make it as just schedules didn't work out, especially with the signings the Steelers had, but she will be back as soon as we bring her back. We're hoping to bring her back next Friday. We'll see about how that plays out though. But thanks again for checking out the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter. You can always follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Carter Critiques. And as Matt said, you can read my work at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Also check out our Post-Gazette podcasts. And if you're so inclined, you can check out the work there. I cover Pitt athletics there. I covered their pro day. So if you want to read about all the different Pitt prospects and the ones that might be interesting fits, do check that out. And then you can always find me on the Locked On Steelers podcast, where I'm hosting Monday through Friday episodes on Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, YouTube, anywhere podcasts are hosted. So we hope you enjoyed the show. Subscribe to this YouTube channel to get more. We'll have a lot more coming your way very soon right here on the Locked On Steelers podcast. And if not before then, you guys have a great weekend. I'll be back on Monday talking more about your Pittsburgh Steelers right here on the Locked On Steelers podcast.